You know, I was just going through some of my notes from the past couple of months, and I saw something from Liz Schulman, who is an English teacher at Evanston Township High School. She teaches in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. She's actually working on a book about screen culture in schools. And we talked to her going into the school year about the challenges for teachers, particularly with kids with phones. And what do you do about that? A lot of schools were rolling out policies. And as the kids are going back to in-person learning, how much of a distraction have they already had? And how much more are those dang phones? And she said it was going to be a real challenge. We talked about strategies, in fact. Liz joins us again now on WGN. Liz, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me back.
So just to remind our listeners about what your contact is with students. How many classes do you have? What kind of classes? What year are they? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so I teach at Evanston Township High School. I teach 9th grade and 12th grade English. I've got 5 classes, so about 125 students.
What's the school's policy, or has it been anyway, with regard to the kids with phones in the classroom?
Yeah, so we did institute a policy at the beginning of the school year, which is simply they're not supposed to be on them. So it's, you know, we teachers are certainly trying, but it continues to be challenging. I mean, there are moments when, you know, it's better, but they're just rarely off their phones long enough to really feel the positive effects of, you know, how productive they could actually be once they do put them down.
You said they're not supposed to be on them, so they can have them. They can have them turned on, but they're not supposed to be using them. Is it that liberal, if you will, that reasonable?
Yeah, so they're supposed to be like off of their body and away in their bag. Mm-hmm. They are supposed to be off or silenced. Yeah, that is the policy, and we do give breaks so that they can check. We have 85-minute blocks, so you know we all understand that it's not realistic for them to be off of them the entire time. The problem with that, though, is that it's you're kind of re-perpetuating the addiction every time they go back on. So it's conversations that my colleagues and I have often.
You know, I don't know that it's not reasonable to expect the kids to be without their eyes on their screens for 85 minutes. Some of us, you know, who went to school in the Stone Age think we went to school at 8 in the morning and we got out at 3 in the afternoon or whatever it was. So what's that, 7 hours? And we weren't on our phones because they didn't exist. But you find
right.
It as it's a big ask to ask a young person to not look at their screen for 90 minutes, huh?
Yeah, and so it kind of becomes a game of whack-a-mole. You know, they've got their watch, they've got the phone, they've got the school issued Chromebook. So it's, you know, it's they're all different kinds of screens all the time. I will say though that when they are off the phones, it is amazing. I mean, there have been some days in my classroom where they are in a discussion, they're sitting in a circle. It takes a very long time to get them there, but when they do it, they are calm, they are present, their posture is different, they're not agitated, they are listening to each other. I mean, they talk about ideas instead of the latest TikTok video. You know, they can do it. It takes a very long time to get there, but there's a complete shift in their demeanor, and then it's gone the next day. You know, it's all kind of undone, and then you try to do it again the next day.
You must be encouraged by those moments. This is why you're a teacher, right?
I am. I mean, they're amazing, and I tell them, and the thing is, once they are away long enough, they know they're addicted. They talk about it. They talk about their younger siblings not wanting to go outside. They're playing video games all day. They're concerned about their younger siblings. I mean, they know. They're very smart and amazing teenagers.
I'm glad to hear you put it that way, albeit the other things that you said. I don't remember if we had the conversation like this. What would happen if a teacher says, hey, kids, do it for me? You know, we're all in this together. You can't imagine how hard I've worked on this lesson plan. This is my career. And the fact that you won't give me your attention for 45 minutes not only hurts my feelings, but it wrecks my soul.
I have. I do say things like that. I mean, we're trying to, you know, whatever we can do, guilt trip them, bribe them. It kind of depends. I mean, honestly, it depends on the hour of the day that you have students. You know, it seems to get harder later in the day when they're more tired and ready for the day to end. But yeah, I do say things like that. And sometimes it's very effective, and other times they just won't have it. It kind of depends on their mood and what's going on in their personal lives.
Yeah, well, 16-year-olds are a difficult creature. That probably hasn't changed over the years. What are they looking at? What is so compelling to them?
I think it's primarily TikTok, Snapchat. There's a lot of texting. I think that last time we spoke, we were talking about the parents. I do have some parents who are very concerned about this. I mean, I've got several parents who email me every week asking me for updates. How are they with the screens this week? There's other parents who are constantly still tethered to their child throughout the day. Some students FaceTime with their parents in the hallways, sometimes in the classroom. So that's what they're doing.
This may sound naive, but are you saying that while you would be up there lecturing about Shakespeare or something, that the kids would be looking at their phones and maybe texting one another while you're teaching?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's very hard. It's hard to imagine if you're not in the classroom every day seeing this. But yes, absolutely. There are group chats, group texts. Students will be in the same classroom texting each other in other classrooms. And then, like I said, we do have moments where, you know, if we can convince them to put them down long enough, and I'll say things like, trust me, I promise you will feel better. Give me about a half hour. You know, you will feel better. And they do. It just isn't long enough to sustain it.
Liz Schulman's on a phone line, an English teacher at Evanston Township High School. You know, I sound holier than thou. I've been in Zoom meetings where people are chatting on the side. Can you believe he or she just said that? I guess that's the sort of thing that happens in a classroom too, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I will say, as a teacher, it's not fun to be when you can tell that you are being texted about. So, you know, just trying to create the conditions so that we can just build trust and be with each other and try to focus on the benefits of just putting them down.
Liz, is it maybe harder to connect with kids on a liberal arts curriculum as opposed to, say, science or math? You know, because it's so rudimentary. It's so you've got to know the formula and how it works. If you take your eyes off the blackboard or the teacher, you're going to fall behind, whereas, you know, a discussion about thoughts and feelings and interpretation can be a little more fluid. I wonder if it's harder for you to maintain their attention.
Yeah, I mean, from the teachers in other departments who I speak to, it seems like we are all struggling with similar things. But yeah, I mean, certainly there's more classes that are using more, you know, reason versus using more imagination and kind of in the world of ideas and the humanities.
Do you ask the parents for help?
I do, and that's actually part of our policy here, is that we are supposed to record it. We contact the parents. We do let them know. And I would say most of the times this year, parents have been supportive. There are the few who don't really seem to understand the importance of letting their kid kind of individuate during the day and have that separated time away from their family. That is so important. But I would say I've had a lot of positive interactions with parents mm-hmm. who are also very concerned.
Yeah, and who are also addicted to their phones, as am I. I mean, trust me. But mm-hmm. What penalties or punishments do you have that you can use?
So it's our job to record it a couple times, have conversations with the students, have conversations with the parents. And then if it does continue, we've been instructed to write a referral to the dean. And then it's really out of our hands. So then the dean decides what the consequence is, whether that is suspension or extended detention or, you know, workshops on phone usage. So I try to tell the student and the parents that, you know, look, once I get to that point, it's really out of my hands. So I'm trying to kind of work on things in-house within the classroom, because once it goes to the dean, it's, you know, it's above my pay grade.
The policy isn't to confiscate the phone?
No, we do not confiscate the phone. And we were actually told not to. I mean, I know I have heard some cases in other schools in Illinois where the teacher took the phone, and if the phone happened to be cracked, the teacher was then responsible. So most of us don't want to touch them at all.
I understand that. I mean, really, you're now responsible for a handful of $600 devices. I don't envy you for that. Are you able to force the kids to turn them off, to power them off? It would just seem to me like there ought to be a way to physically or mechanically disengage the kids from these things.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell them to do that. It's, you know, it's ultimately their choice, and whether or not they choose to follow the policy is ultimately up to them. I'm just trying to give them as many reasons as possible why it will feel better if they do, and that we can actually be in a classroom and not be constantly drawn into other things that are going on in the world outside of what's happening, you know, in the moment. And it's funny because, you know, they've been trained now that a break from schoolwork means to go on the phones. And that's not a break. I mean, a break from schoolwork used to be quiet time, maybe meditation, maybe some drawing. Now it's kind of like, you know, let me get through this work so that I can get back to the phone. So I'm trying to have conversations with them. Like, what does it really mean to have a break?
Liz Schulman's an English teacher at Evanston Township High School. She's working on a book about the screen culture in schools. One last question then. Where we are in the pandemic now, arguably out of the pandemic, just talk about the quality of education the kids are getting, either compared to 2020 or 2019.
Well, I think they're getting a good education now that we are all back in person, but I think that we are still dealing with the effects of learning in the pandemic. And so I know that there have been reports coming out about reading scores low, math scores are low. And so I think we're all trying to fill in a lot of the gaps that occurred over the last few years.
I really want you to be successful, Liz. I'm so glad you're in the classroom. I'm so glad you're fighting the good fight, teaching the good thoughts. You know, I could see where, and we hear teachers are quitting or not going back or just getting so discouraged it's hard to teach. You sound like you've still got your energy for this.
I do. Well, it is Friday, but yes, I'm trying.
Well, I'm going to call you on a Monday again later in the school year. But
Sounds good. Thank you
for your time, Liz.
Thank you so much.
Liz Schulman teaches at Evanston Township High School. She is also a teacher in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern. I'm anxious to get that book. The text line blew up when we were talking about kids texting and using their phones during school. Hey, John, I'm a teacher, and this lady speaks the truth, and then some. 630 said, John, my son's a teacher in Wisconsin, and when the students enter the classroom, he has a box that all the phones are placed in, and it sits in the front of the classroom until the end of the class, and then they pick them up on the way out the door to the next classroom where the same thing happens again. I guess all schools don't have or won't have a policy like that. That makes sense to me, though, doesn't it? Who's in charge? The adult is. No phones, period. It's rude. You've got someone in front of you teaching you, educating you. Put the phones in the lockers, and when you switch classes or lunchtime, you can check your phone. My daughter's school phones were not allowed in the classroom, period. Allison says, aren't there rules about cell phone use in the classroom? 847, how in the world can we not make kids in schools put their phones aside or in a bin or something like that while they're in the class? This is ridiculous. John, my now 33-year-old son, was at a boys' high school on the south side of Chicago. He had his phone with him in the class. It was taken away, and I had to go up to the school and pay $25 for him to get the phone back. Oh, how times have changed. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, John, it's like we're begging the kids to listen, not in my house. It's called grounded and sticking to it. Well, I don't know what the policy is or how they came up with the policy in Evanston, but the policy is you can have the phone in your backpack, off of your person, and you're not supposed to use it. And then when you're a teacher and you see somebody use it, she said it's a game of whack-a-mole. If every time I said, okay, stop everything, and we're going to make sure your phone gets put away, it's stop and start, stop and start. Interesting insight for the frustrations of a teacher who's still teaching, Liz Schulman in Evanston.